Title: Building Pads from Short Choir Samples Intermediate. Alright, let's build a proper drum and bass pad from a tiny choir sample. The goal here is simple. Take something like a short ah hit or a chord stab, and turn it into a wide, evolving bed that feels expensive and emotional but still stays out of the way of your bass and drums. Indeed, NB, pads do two big jobs. 1. They set the atmosphere so the track has a world around it. 2. They glue sections together, especially across 8 or 16 bar phrases. The danger is they can also destroy clarity if they spill into the low mids or smear your snare. So we're going to design this like a DNB pad on purpose, not just make it lush and hope. Step 0 is your source sample. Pick a choir one shot that's short, like 100 milliseconds up to a second. Cleaner is easier. Minimal baked-in reverb is ideal. If it's already huge and wet, you can still do this. You'll just do more cleanup and you'll be more careful with reverb later. Before we even loop, let's get pitch confidence. This is one of those steps that makes the difference between cool texture and this sounds like a record. Drop your sample onto a MIDI track so it loads into Simpler. In Simpler, switch to classic mode. Now, use transpose to get it near a real note and fine-tune by ear against something reliable. A super quick method is, load a simple sine wave bass or a basic tuner reference, play an A, and adjust until your choir sits in tune. If the root is stable, everything you build on top feels intentional. Now set Simpler up like an instrument. Turn warp off in Simpler. We're not going to rely on warping to stretch this. We're going to create a sustain using looping. Set voices to something like 8 to 12 so you can play chords without it cutting off. Then shape the amp envelope to behave like a pad. Give it an attack around 30 to 80 milliseconds, just enough to avoid clicks and soften the front. Set decay a few seconds, like 2 to 6 seconds. Sustain can be a little below full. Think minus 6 to minus 12 dB, depending on whether you want it to sit back or be a constant bed. And release is where the vibe lives, 2 to 8 seconds. Longer release sounds beautiful, but remember, longer release also means more buildup in a busy drop. You can always automate or macro map release later. Now the magic. Turning a short hit into a sustained tone that doesn't sound like a loop. Go into Simpler's looping controls and turn loop on. You're hunting for the most stable, tonal area of the sample. Usually it's not the very beginning transient and it's not the very end where it decays into noise. Find the core. Start with a tiny loop length, maybe 30 to 120 milliseconds, right on that stable area. Then add crossfade. Crossfade is not optional here if you want it to sound smooth. Try 50 to 150 milliseconds. Now hold a note and listen. If you hear a little wah-wah cycle, that's the loop repeating in an obvious way. Fix it by nudging the loop start a bit, or shortening the loop length, or increasing crossfade slightly. You're aiming for a sustain that feels like a held vowel, not like a repeating slice. Here's a coach trick that solves a really common problem. Stable loops can be boring, and characterful loops can be warbly. So do both. Keep your main loop super stable for sustain, and then add a second layer for the natural opening of the choir. The easiest way is to duplicate the Simpler into another chain later, or duplicate the track. On the second one, turn looping off and keep it one shot, but turn it down and shorten its release. It only needs to speak for the first 200 to 600 milliseconds. That gives you the real attack and natural start, and then the looped layer carries the sustain. This instantly makes the pad feel more human. Okay, now we add life. A static loop can sound frozen, like it's pinned to the grid. We want subtle pitch drift, like singers not being perfectly locked, or like tape instability. Option 1. Add shifter after Simpler and use it for tiny pitch modulation. Keep coarse and fine at 0, and use the LFO amount in cents. Think tiny, 1 to 6 cents. Slow rate, around 0.08 to 0.25 Hz. That's not vibrato, that's the room is breathing. Option 2. Coarse ensemble in ensemble mode. Keep it tasteful, amount around 10 to 25%, rate around 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. And width around 80 to 120%. If you overdo chorus in DNB, you'll get that glossy super saw thing, and that's not the mission. We want movement, not a lead. Now shape tone and add controlled motion with auto filter. Put auto filter after your modulation. Choose your filter based on vibe. LP24 is great for darker pads that stay out of the way. BP12 is perfect for that ghost choir midrange, especially for darker rollers where you don't want low mid fog. Set a starting cutoff somewhere between 400 Hz and 2.5K, depending on how bright your sample is. Keep resonance modest, like 5 to 15%. Drive is optional, but a little drive, like 0 to 6 dB, can add harmonic density. Just watch your levels. Then add LFO movement in the filter. Keep amounts small, like 5 to 20%. Set the rate slow. For DNB, synced movement over 1 bar, 2 bars, or even slower like 4 bars can sound really musical. You're aiming for evolution, not wobble. And try different LFO phase settings. Sometimes 180 degrees just feels wider and more alive, especially once we start widening. Now space. Pads need a believable room, but DNB needs clarity. So we're going to use hybrid reverb carefully. Put hybrid reverb after the filter. Start with a hall style, and if you use shimmer, keep it extremely low. Pick a small or medium hall IR, not a massive cathedral, especially if you're going to have breaks, rise, and a snare that needs to stay crisp. Set decay around 2.5 to 6 seconds. Pre-delay 15 to 35 milliseconds so the pad doesn't instantly smear the front of notes. And do the important cleanup inside the reverb. Low cut around 200 to 500 Hz to prevent mud, and high cut around 4 to 8K to avoid fizzy wash. Mix around 10 to 25% as a starting point. You can go wetter in intros and breakdowns, but in a drop you'll usually go drier and duck more. Teacher note, watch your gain staging here. Before a reverb, aim for the pad chain to peak roughly in the minus 12 to minus 6 dB range. Choir samples can spike when you add polyphony and modulation. Headroom keeps hybrid reverb from getting brittle and splashy. Now clean up and control. Add EQ8 and then utility. In EQ8, start with a high pass filter around 150 to 300 Hz. In DNB, this is one of the biggest instant pro moves. Pads don't need to live where the sub and Reese are doing heavy lifting. If it's boxy, cut a bit around 250 to 450 Hz, maybe 2 to 5 dB. Gentle Q like 1.2-ish. If the pad starts masking the snare crack, dip slightly around 1.5 to 3K. Then utility for width and low-end stability. Start width around 120 to 160%, but don't just crank it because it feels good in headphones. Turn on bass mono around 120 to 200 Hz so the low-mid stays centered and doesn't get facey. And check mono early, not at the end. This is huge. Set utility width to 0% for a second and listen. If your pad collapses or disappears, you've got phase issues from chorus or widening. Fix it by reducing chorus width or rate, or by using less extreme utility width, or by moving widening later in the chain after EQ. In DNB, you want the pad identity to survive in mono, even if the size reduces. A practical rule you can keep in your head. Keep the identity in the mids, keep the size in the sides. That means the center should be darker and cleaner, and the sides can carry more airy shimmer. This preserves drum and bass authority while still sounding wide. Now the DNB breathing technique, ducking. You want the pad to move around the groove, not compete with it. Classic option. Compressor sidechain. Put it near the end of the chain after utility. Turn on sidechain. Feed it from your drum bus, or at least kick and snare. Ratio around 3:1 to 6:1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds so the ducking grabs quickly. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds and adjust it to the groove. Set threshold so you're getting about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. The right amount feels like the pad is inhaling and exhaling with the drums. Cleaner rhythmic option. Auto pan used as tremolo. Set phase to 0 degrees so left and right move together. Amount 20 to 60%. Rate 1/4 or 1/8 synced. This gives you pulsing without the compressor clamp tone. And there's an advanced smooth option if you want the pad to articulate but not pump. A gate keyed from a ghost rhythm. You make a muted pattern that opens the gate gently. Low threshold, short attack, and a release time to an eighth or quarter note. It's like the pad is being played rhythmically without sounding like EDM sidechain. Now let's turn this into a fast workflow instrument. Group your chain into an instrument rack. A solid order is simpler, chorus ensemble or shifter, auto filter, hybrid reverb, EQ8, utility, compressor. Map macros so you can perform the pad like an instrument. Brightness on filter cutoff. Motion on filter LFO amount, bass on reverb mix, darkness on reverb high cut, width on utility width, duck on compressor threshold, rhyme on filter drive, and air is a subtle high shelf in EQ, maybe 0 to 3 dB around 8 to 12K, but only if it's not fighting your hats. If you want a really pro-level variation, build a split band rack, a low-mid chain and a high-air chain. On the low-mid chain, keep it controlled. High pass around 150 to 250, low pass around 2 to 4K, minimal modulation and minimal reverb. On the higher chain, high pass around 1 to 2K, add more chorus, longer reverb, and slower filter motion. Then create one macro called Bloom that turns up the air chain and increases its reverb at the same time. That's how you get lushness without turning the center of your mix into fog. Let's do a quick arrangement practice so this becomes musical, not just sound design. Set your project to 174 BPM. Make a 16-bar loop. Bars 1 to 8, drums and bass only. Bars 9 to 16, bring in the pad. Pads often arrive after the first 8 bars in DNB, because it's a clean way to lift energy without changing the groove. Write 2 chords, each lasting 2 bars, and loop them. Try a minor chord and then a sus 2 or add 9 flavor. For example, F minor and then something like D bemol add 9 or AB sus 2. Then automate the filter cutoff to slowly open from bars 9 to 16. In bar 16 only, automate a small reverb increase as a transition moment, then pull it back down at the drop if needed. One more advanced musical tip. If your bass is really owning the root note, let the pad omit the root. So if you're in F minor, instead of stacking F in the pad, try tones like AB, C, and G. You still imply the harmony, but you stop masking the bass's main job. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you listen. If you didn't high pass the pad, you'll feel it instantly. The low mids get cloudy and the bass loses definition. If your loop clicks or warbles, fix it with crossfade and loop placement. Don't just bury it in reverb. If the drop feels smeared, your reverb is too wet or your ducking isn't strong enough. If you overwiden, it'll sound huge in stereo and then vanish in mono, so check early. And if your snare suddenly feels less present, do a gentle dip around 2K on the pad. To wrap it up, you're using simpler looping and crossfade to create a sustained source, subtle modulation to make it feel alive, filtering to keep it DNB safe, reverb for space with discipline, and EQ plus ducking to make it sit around the drums and bass. Dark, wide, moving but never in the way. If you want, tell me what sub-key you're writing in and whether you're aiming liquid, jungle, or darker rollers, and I can suggest chord voicings that dodge the snare and work around a reese.